Doing a little bit different of a schedule of things, and so I'm going to have just a little short, I don't even know if I can call it a sermon this morning, but a short message for you. We've been going through the spiritual disciplines. I've called it Rooted. I'm not going to have anything up on the slide for you that I normally would just because it's so short this morning, but we've been calling it Rooted. And the idea of Rooted is the spiritual disciplines and that they're merely a way for us to put ourselves before God and allow him to work in our lives to change us to be more like him. The scripture we've been using, and this is the last Sunday for this series, the scripture we've been using is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and it says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." As you read through the Bible, as you read through the stories in the Bible and the timeline of the Bible, it's interesting to see how God uses celebration, how God uses times of feasts and other things for his people to be able to remember. This morning we're talking about celebration. Celebration is a discipline, and you might think, well, how is that a discipline? Like many of the others, last week we talked about the Sabbath rest. That's something we aren't always able to do. But God tells us that he set up this natural rhythm in our lives that we should work 6 days and we should rest for one day. And I think celebration is much like that too. I think God set up a rhythm for celebration. That there are times, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. I think laughing is part of celebration. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to dance. Yes, there's those hard times, but I think there's also times that we need to celebrate the things that have happened in our lives. The scripture I'm going to be using this morning comes out of the book of Leviticus. That's the foundation of what I'm going to talk to you about. I'm not actually going to read the whole chapter. And you might think, Leviticus, that's just a bunch of laws, right? Well, they are laws, but they were laws for the Israelites as they came out. Remember how I talked last week? The Israelites had been working for 400 and some years and really hadn't gotten a break because of the Egyptians were making them into slaves. And so they hadn't had a break. And when they come out, God says, you guys weren't supposed to be having to do that, even though you'd been taken into slavery. There's a rhythm that I set up from creation for rest. And so he begins to tell them some of these rules, and they actually come out of Leviticus chapter 23. It says in verse 1, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, these are the appointed feasts of the Lord that you shall proclaim as holy convocations. They are my appointed feasts." And so then he goes into these lists of appointed feasts and celebrations, the first one being the Sabbath. He says, keep the Sabbath day, honor it, and keep it holy. Have it as a time of rest. But then he goes and he lists seven other times that the nation of Israel is to have feasts or to celebrate. The first one is the Passover. One day, the Passover is to be a celebration for them to remember what God had done. The next day after the Passover started the Feast of Unleavened Bread, also part of their remembering of what God had done to bring them out of the nation of Egypt, and that was to last for 7 days. So now we have a period of 8 days of celebrating, remembering what God had done. There was the Feast of First Fruits that God said, as you come into this land and you begin to take of its bounty, things that you did not even reap, but you are now sowing of the bounty of these other nations, I want you to give a part of it to me. And so that's the Feast of First Fruits, that they were to bring an offering to God because of what he has supplied in their life. There's more. There's the Feast of Weeks, which is also a one-day celebration. The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Booths. These 8 different feasts or celebrations that God put there, as you read through, God gives them the specifics of this is when you're supposed to do them in your year. It's interesting. I said God sets up this rhythm for rest. The seventh day is a day of rest. God creates in 6 days. On the seventh day is rest. A lot of these feasts, three or four of them, fall into the seventh month. And so I think God sets up this rhythm, times of celebration that we're supposed to be having in our lives. And what were the purposes of each of these? As I read through this several times this week and thought about it, there were four things that God kind of implanted in my head. And the first one was, it's to offer gifts to God. Celebration wasn't just about the people coming together and celebrating. It was coming to give a part of what God had provided for them. The second thing was a time to remember. Some of these things were God initiated them so that they could look back and say, this is what God has done to provide. The third one, and I think this is part of that Sabbath, but God says there's to be no ordinary work. That's how it's phrased in the Bible. No ordinary work. What does that mean? Does that mean you can't do certain things? Well, yes. It means they're supposed to be a different than any of the other days. I was asked this week, what does it mean to do the Sabbath? What does it mean to rest? Can we go out into a field? Can we go out and pick vegetables in our garden? What does it mean to rest? And I would say this, that it's not just ordinary work, that the day is set apart. God said that the day should be different somehow. And yes, we're going to have to make food for the day, and there's going to be things, but I don't think it should just be an ordinary day. And so I don't think there should be just regular, ordinary work. Finally, God over and over said this day is to be holy, it's to be set apart, and it's to be different. And I think those are the things that kind of are part of celebration. And so what does this look like? We have Christian holidays we celebrate. There's four of them that we kind of celebrate together in a week, and that's the Holy Week. We celebrate Palm Sunday. We celebrate Maundy Thursday, and we have our love feasts and foot washings, communion service. There's Good Friday, and then the next Sunday there's Easter. And so these events that we celebrate to remember not necessarily Jewish heritage, but to remember what Christ has done for us, looking back and remembering. Christian holidays, Christmas. There's celebration, making sure that we celebrate that in such a way that honors God. I think times of communion also as a church can be times that we celebrate and remember. I think for our church specifically, I think there are things that we can celebrate as well. Every week we come together. Isn't this to be a time of celebration, honoring God, remembering what God has done for the last week? If we only got together once a month, I'd have a hard time remembering. Sometimes just a week, I have a hard time remembering what happened just on Monday. So we get together every week to come together and enjoy fellowship, having time with one another. We come together to sing songs, to worship our God, our Creator, our Savior. I think there are times when God calls us as a church to celebrate together. Stacy and I weren't here, but this church decided to add on, and they built this wonderful building. In the book of Nehemiah, they'd done a bunch of building as well, coming back into Jerusalem and rebuilding the wall and the temple. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, with singing, with cymbals, with harps, with lyres." They had all these musical instruments, and they brought all the people in because they wanted to celebrate the building of this wall, the reestablishment of their city that had been destroyed. I think Harvest Sunday is a time of celebration for us, remembering that God has provided for us. We celebrate the kids in our church. Children's Day, we just had that not too long ago. We celebrate our children. I think baptisms are a day to celebrate as well. So we come and we think about the public declaration of saying, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I think that's to be celebrated. There are other things I think should be celebrated. A spiritual birthday. Some of you remember the exact date when you were saved. I was saved August 4th, 1984, so I just turned 34 not too long ago, the beginning of this month. My spiritual birthday. Do you know Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, among these stories where he's telling about this lost sheep that goes out and is finally found and this lost coin that somebody hunts around their whole house and cleans and tries to find the coin. And finally he tells about the lost son that goes off and finally returns. And amongst all of those stories, Jesus says in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There'll be more joy, and I think that's an outpouring of celebration. There'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. I think that's a time of celebration. That's a time to celebrate what is happening in the life of your church and what's happening in your community. So how should we celebrate? I think part of celebration needs to be remembering. Remembering what God has done and remembering how God is working in our lives. Food. We love to celebrate with food, and I think that's biblical, right? Cookies and conversations is a biblical thing, right? Because God always was talking about through all these feasts, you are to do this with food. You are to do that with food. And I think that's how we just naturally celebrate things. I got a cake for those who are going to be baptized this morning. Because I'm like, cake, that's a celebration thing, right? In my head, that's a celebration thing. So there's a cake with their names on it because I think that's part of celebration. I think the food is part of that. I think having a community around you when you get together with family, you celebrate things. I think that's part of that community. And as a church, we are a family of God, and so we come together as this family and we celebrate one another. I think rest is commanded. I think it's to be something different. I think music and thanksgiving can be a part of that celebration. But I think God commands us that we're to celebrate. These natural rhythms of celebration, events in our lives, when major things happen, that we celebrate them with one another. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your rhythms that you have set up to help us understand how you created us and what we are to be doing. And God, help us to celebrate, especially this morning for those being baptized. God, help us to celebrate. Help us to enjoy the time with one another afterwards. And God, I pray that this would be a memorable moment in the church's life and in their lives as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.